been murdered. Other friends have flown before. On the morrow he will leave me, as my hopes have flown before. And the bird said nevermore.
You're listening to The Call Podcast with Brandon and Josh.
Welcome, everybody. Welcome, Ravens Nation, to a brand new edition of The Call. It's a Baltimore Ravens podcast where we talk anything and everything Baltimore Ravens football. Joining me, as always, we got the birthday boy, well, belated birthday boy, my buddy Josh. What's going on, man?
Thanks, Brandon. Yeah, man, had a good birthday, but what a crappy game, man. What a crappy performance all around. That's what I got to say, man. I mean, rolling right to it, the experience was awesome, bud. Indianapolis was great, bro. Have you ever been out there?
I have not, no.
You have not? I remember I went to Charlotte 4 years ago. It kind of reminded me of that because these Midwest cities are kind of – they're very nice. It was almost taken back because – you know, walking into the stadium, no one was really, like, booing me and, like, you suck. Like, you know, none of that. It was more like I was walking to the stadium and I heard, you know, like, I seen a few, like, Ravens fans and we'd be like, go Ravens and high-fiving. And, I mean, apart from the usual, like, you know, yeah, we'll probably beat you today. It wasn't like everybody was like, because, you know, I went in full gear, Ravens contacts, helmet and all. And I actually had a fan. We were standing in line to the stadium, and I had a fan ask me if he could take a picture with me because he's like, dude, that get up so cool. and then I had, you know, a lot of people were just really like, you know, really loving the fact that I was passionate, went all out on the road trip. And I mean, apart from the game, I had a fun experience. Even after the game when we lost, walking out of stadium, it wasn't like no, aha, we beat you. And you know, it wasn't like that. And aha, people were like, see guys from Baltimore and asking us questions. And like, I was walking with my helmet and some guy asked to see the helmet and he was asking me about that. Like, was it real? Did Ray wear it? Blah, blah, blah. And I was looking at my buddy. I'm like, you wouldn't even think we lost a football game because they're being too nice. Like, but it was great. You know, no one gave us, you know, any issues with being Ravens fans. And, you know, we found in Fort Wayne, in Indiana, up north, there was a fan there. We sat next to a fan that were actually from Indiana. And the guy was wearing a Doomerville jersey and his girlfriend was wearing a Luck jersey. And I asked him, we're from Baltimore. Are you from Maryland? He goes, I'm not from Indiana. So I thought that was very awesome that an Indianapolis or an Indiana native was a Ravens fan. So I asked him, I said, you know, how did you become a Ravens fan? And you know what he said to me, Brandon? He said, because of defense, baby. And he gave me a high five. So I thought that was pretty awesome. And I did see a lot of Ravens fans there when the national anthem, there was an O echoed in there. So there was some Raven faithful and we got it going on. And, you know, apart from the game, let's get right to it. We played. It reminded me of Bengals game, man. It's just We didn't get out of our own way, and the game was close. I was surprised it was 6-3 at halftime.
Yeah, it was such a weird – I felt like I had been there before. It felt like week one. Right. You know, I don't like to start off talking negatively about anything, so let's start off at least talking about this. Shining star right off the bat, rookie C.J. Mosley, his best game to date. I mean, the tackle that he put on Andrew Luck and just where he was all over the place, the interception. I forget who it was that said that they were on the defense, but they're like, this kid reminds me of Ray Lewis.
Lardarius Webb said that.
Lardarius, okay, great. He said that. I fully agree with Lardarius then, because this kid came in, he was fully into the game when it seemed like the rest of the team just wasn't playing with their whole heart. He had some fire in his belly. He was going. And C.J. Mosley, what a great pickup. What a great draft pick. Excellent addition to this team. A team that evidently needs a lot of help right now.
Yeah, man. I mean, he was all over the field, and I was very impressed. Even as the defense shined and Hilody notching his second pick, it's just amazing to see how the defense has come together and with not letting up big plays. And Mosley finished the game with 15 tackles, one sack, and a pick. The dude was a machine out there, and he did remind me of Ray, because it was just every tackle. I was like, there's Mosley. He's the truth. I kept saying that. Oh, and there was our pick, and there's a reason why. he was picked the 17th overall, and he's showing it day in and day out, and every week in practice and every week in the games. Man, Mosley's the truth. Mosley's the future of the defense. He's the next star. Man, was he all over the place. And the few times they got pressure on Luck, it worked, and it worked to its advantage. The offense, let's get right to it, just utterly pathetic. It reminded me of – I don't even know if Kubiak was calling a plays or Cam Cameron snuck into the building, but the running game was working all day long, and they just got in their own way. They abandoned it too early, and I'm sitting there, why? You know, you can't go inside the 5-yard line and come away with 3 total points. You get inside the 5 twice, come away with 3 total, with 0 points on the one possession and 3 on the other. That's uncalled for. And the game was a 7-point game. You even trade scores there and get another field goal, or even one of those a touchdown. Game's over. I don't know what the Ravens are thinking. I don't know if it was performance. I don't know if it was play call. I'm going to go in the microscope and say it was play call. You know, 3rd and 1, 4th and 1, run the ball. You know, this offense isn't built, you know, like a passing offense. This isn't Peyton Manning's offense. This isn't Aaron Rodgers, where 3rd and 1, we can rear back and fire in the end zone and get a touchdown 2 yards out from the end zone. We are a ground and pound, run the ball first team. That's usually Kubiak's mantra, with where he came from in Texans with Arian Foster. And I'm very surprised they didn't run it. I mean, Forsett was running all day long on them, and it was just like with Cincinnati when I reviewed that. They went away from what was working. If something's working, keep doing it. And they got too cute. And with the pressure being there all day, you know, the whole big was Flacco hasn't had a sack in 3 games. And in like the first series, he had one. So the defense was relentless. Gotta give Colts the credit. The defense, they game plan for him. You know, James Hurst, you know, I felt bad for him, man. He just got hung out to dry. Again, you know, 3rd and 1, these play actions, when the defense is playing man press coverage and they're in Flacco's grove, where's the no huddle offense to throw them up bounce? Where's the shotgun formation? It was like under center, and yeah, you would fake the run, but they're expecting that. So by the time Flacco looks up, he's getting harassed, and then his receivers aren't getting open. And it just was one of those frustrating, like, really? And then apart from Steve Smith fumble to what the heck was Jacoby Jones thinking? Get out of the way. You know, fair catch the ball or move. It was just a lot of those dumb mistakes, you know, shooting yourselves in the foot. Again, they were there. They gave themselves late. I have to tell you this. It was kind of funny. A story is, and we sat up in the upper levels, which the stadium itself was great. And when they were driving, the Colts were driving towards the end of the game to make it a 2-score game. Me and my friend were going to get a head start. I never leave a game early, but we were at least going to get a head start walking down the lower levels, so we didn't have to fight all the people out. Well, it's funny because as soon as we get the bottom of the section, the Colts fumble, the Raiders recovered, so we're like, well, this isn't over. So we step back down, and that I really thought when Flacco got out of that, Marlon Brown, I thought he had a touchdown, and we were just – it just, again, it reminded me of Cincinnati, Brandon. Too little, too late, and the stuff that they were working late, it worked. I mean, especially when they had the ball, 40 seconds left in the clock in the first half, they ran Forsett 50 yards. That was even unexpected, so – in review, the Red Hat review, man, I really have to say we got in our own way, and we made dumb mistakes that we couldn't overcome late in the game, and we could have won it. We could have been there. The defense played lights out, held Andrew Luck to 1 total touchdown win in the last 2 weeks. He threw 8. That's impressive, my friend.
Yeah, this team is very lopsided. The defense, there are obvious holes in the defense, and there's places that, and the holes have just gotten even bigger after some of the news that's come out this past week. But the defense is like the shining star, the least thing you got to worry about in a game. This offense, what is going on with this offense? You know, you've got these talented players out there, and I don't know if it's the coaching staff or what, but if this is the style Gary Kubiak's bringing to this team, I'm definitely worried here, because this is obviously not working. This is 4 weeks into the season. This is pretty much a quarter of the season right now that we're sitting at, and he's looked good. Gary Kubiak's system has looked good in one game, maybe 2 games against teams that aren't doing well this year. Obviously, this offense is not I don't know if it fits his system or if his system doesn't fit the team, but I'm definitely worried if this guy's going to be here for longer than a season, because this can't happen every year. I mean, look at that offense. I mean, Justin Forsett was a guy who we didn't think we were going to see any of this year. And due to certain circumstances, he's one of the best players right now out there on the field. Yeah, we lost Dennis Pitta, but, you know, you do have guys like Marlon Brown and guys like that are stepping up and are good players for you. You got Steve Smith. You've got Joe Flacco. All of these guys know what to do out on that field. So I don't know if we're calling plays that aren't working, or if the coaching staff didn't do their homework against what kind of team this is. I mean, look at the defense, like you said, on the Colts. You had Corey Redding, a former Raven, on the Colts. You know what kind of power this guy's bringing. He took down Joe Flacco I don't know how many times. Obviously, this offensive line is not working. Joe doesn't have time to set up his plays. The receivers aren't getting open. Nothing is working except for Justin Forsett. Nothing is working on this offense. And it's not completely the coaching staff I'm blaming here, because, like, Torrey Smith had one of the most atrocious games he's had his entire career. I don't know what's up with him this season. But this offense, they need to get their head together. Gary Kubiak's got to realize who his players are, and they got to fix it quick, because this whole season is slipping through our fingers. Because if the Ravens are only good against mediocre and bad teams, that means no run to the Super Bowl, no playoffs again, and that should be the ultimate goal. This team is obviously not the best it can be right now.
No, they're not playing like that, and you're right. If this continues, we're going to be – like I was talking to my friend who went on the road trip with me. The way they're playing, this is going to set up, instead of 11-5 and 12-4 record like I predicted, this is going to turn to 10-6, 9-7, or another 8-8, because they're just going to keep trade. They're going to go on a 2-3 game winning streak, and then they're going to lose one or two games that they should have won. And looking back, it's going to be that shoulda, woulda, coulda. Granted that with the two losses that we do have on a year, they're less than 10 points. So I'm really satisfied that they were in both games. You know, they were driving against Cincinnati late, and they took two sacks right in a row to end the game. They were right there. Again, they were driving down the field against the Colts on Sunday, and that could have won the game. Too little, too late. But they're not getting blown out. So, with that being said, I'm a little relieved, because, as we know with the AFC, I wouldn't say it's a little weak. We have teams that are up and coming, but I mean, the Patriots got blown out 41-7 a few weeks ago on Monday Night Football. We haven't got blown out, thank God. And especially being on the road when you travel, when those games happen, it's almost like I'd rather get blown out, because, hey, at least the better team won and they played well. Well, it just sucks, because if the Ravens only found their ground and found their footing, we could have won that game. That's what makes me look positively at the next week's coming, because you know what? They play poorly and still lost by 7. Okay, what happens if they play horrible? They're going to get blown out. What happens if they play well? They could be 5-0. You know, there's the other side of that coin. They're 3-2 now. They could easily be 4-1 or 5-0. You know, it's not like even with the wins, they've won convincingly. They won convincingly against Pittsburgh. They won convincingly against Carolina. It took a last-second field goal and a dogfight against the Browns, but again, that was expected. That was an AFC North flat-out dogfight, and that's how they should be. So they had two impressive wins, one come from behind win, which was impressive on the road in a hostile environment against Cleveland. Two losses, one at home just the last minute, and one loss on the road that they could have won. So right now, at state of the Ravens, I would say it's okay. Not great, not decent, but okay. I feel good. I feel confident. As of right now, 3-2, I feel confident. And some fans might be like, really? Like I said, backing what I just set up, I feel confident, and we can get the job done. We have a running back. You know, when Ray Rice and everything went down and Bernard Pierce got hurt, where's our running back? And all of a sudden, Justin Forsett comes out of nowhere. I'm very confident with a running back. But like you said before, where's Torrey Smith? Jacoby Jones needs to get his head up. I don't know what he's doing. Right now, it's Owen Daniels, Steve Smith, and Forsett holding down the ground in the passing game and in the running game, respectively.
You know, this is a talented group of guys. I'll constantly say that. But my biggest gripe right now, you know, you definitely did talk me off the ledge a little bit there just now.
I said, man, no jumping just yet. Just hold on just a little bit, but not just yet. But with that being said, speaking of the ledge, I don't think we could be on any ledge right now, because how about those Orioles, ladies and gentlemen? ALCS, guys, we have to give it up, man.
Oh, absolutely. You know, that's something great to see.
I have to tell you, Oh man, and I have to tell you, being that was my birthday on Sunday, and the way the Ravens lost, and I had an overall great weekend, but there was nothing. You should have seen this, because there was nothing like. As soon as the game was over, we walked out. Oh man, it lost, but I had the Orioles score up. I was looking for the score. We went right back to the cars. I changed really quickly into my Orioles attire, and we walked right across the street to a local place and a little flavor of home. And when we walked in, lo and behold, we see a table of three or four guys, Orioles hats, Ravens jerseys, ready to go. The game was already on. As the game wore on, I have to tell you that more fans showed up. And it was kind of funny. And when Cruz hit the home run, the bar was filled with Cruz. And I felt like I was at home, man. And cheering them on. And when they won, the place exploded with just Orioles fans left. We were chanting, "Let's go, O's." It was loud. We were – dude, it was pandemonium, man. And we had about 20 Orioles fans to celebrate with. And there was a guy – it was really funny. Here's a story. There was a guy wearing an Andrew Luck jersey and an Orioles visor. And I had to ask him. I said, what's with that? You would think it would be a United jersey or something else. He's actually from Baltimore. He made the trip. He's from Catonsville area. He said he's from the area. And he made the trip to Indy. But you know what he told me? A very interesting thing. Because he's so deep-rooted in the Colts, he said when the black and the blue and white left Baltimore, he followed them.
Oh,
and
wow.
I don't blame him. And he said, especially with the Orioles, he goes, man, he goes, I bleed orange, bro. He goes, well, this is great for the Orioles, great for Baltimore. But he's like, he goes, nothing against Ravens, but he goes, when they left, I followed him. So he goes, my Orioles love stay there, but my Baltimore Colts and all that, and then they went to Indianapolis. He goes, I had to follow the Colts, I had to follow the blue and white. And I'm like, that's loyalty, man. He's even loving his Orioles, but still paying respects to the Ravens, not hating them. He even told me, he goes, I don't hate Baltimore. He goes, I'm glad to see them win a couple titles and all that. But he's like, but he goes, my loyalty lies with the blue. And I'm like, that's, dude, I gave him a mad hug. And I'm like, that's awesome. So I think that was an experience to take from there. And the Orioles, what they did, they salvaged the weekend for me. So, and I just really can't wait for that. But again, you know, with all that aside, Orioles are talking everybody off the ledge, because right now it's almost like the Ravens are kind of sharing the spotlight, and it's pretty fun right now. So Orioles are, again, four wins away from a World Series, so it's pretty exciting around here, man. I'm just tickled to death, and I started on Thursday. I went to the playoff game on Thursday when they just poured on the run. So the weekend started great. Again, the Ravens a little bit rocky, but it started with the playoff game, ended with the clincher, watched it with some fans who were from Harford County up here in Baltimore, Maryland, and down spread around. So I saw a good contingent of fans, had a great trip, had a safe flight back, and we're ready to take on Tampa Bay on Sunday. Already forgotten about the Colts.
All right, man. Well, it is great to see the Ravens and the Orioles kind of getting along. You know, if you look at M&T Bank Stadium, it's lit up orange.
Oh, that was awesome, man. Wasn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah. And
and the Castle's lit up orange as well.
Oh, that's even better. That's really cool. So before we talk about the Tampa Bay game, we're going to take a quick break. There's a buddy of mine. His name is actually Josh as well, Josh Brinkley. And he took it upon himself to draw a giant orange bird on his front lawn, and he painted it right there on his lawn, and I wanted to talk to him a little bit about that. So we're going to take a quick break from the Ravens show here and talk a little bit about the Orioles with him. So we'll be right back here on The Call.
The Call is a member of the Baltimore Sports Report Network. Find more podcasts like this at baltimoresportsreport.com.
All right, everybody, welcome back to The Call. Joining me is a different Josh than I normally talk to on the show. Josh Brinkley, how's it going, man?
Great. How are you, Brandon?
I'm doing good. So you and I are friends. We're friends on Facebook, and I saw over the weekend, and maybe a little bit last week, that you actually went out and you painted a giant Oriole bird on your lawn. What made you do that?
Just trying to paint the town orange. Trying to paint my hill, of course, and I've had plenty of people asking me to paint theirs as well. But just trying to paint the hills or lawns or whatever I have to paint to help support the team and show them love.
Now, are you a big artist? Do you enjoy, you know, just kind of drawing stuff? And if you are, like, what really made you like decide, I'm not just going to do like a painting or something, I'm gonna show it, and I'm gonna actually put it on my grass?
I've always been a diehard fan. Orioles, Ravens, didn't matter. Maryland Terps. Just grew up that way. My family's the same way. That's where I got instilled. Art's always been a passion of mine. It started from my grandfather. He kind of showed me the ropes. I'd ask him to draw stuff for me, and just one day he told me he wasn't going to do it for me anymore, and made me go about drawing it myself. And from there on, I just started doing it, and it's only a side thing, but something I really enjoy, and I try to share that through the projects and different things that I do, just to try to show people, you know, how I feel through my art.
That's really cool, man. I really dig that. And anytime you can support the team and show that, it's a really cool thing. What made you go with the cartoon Oriole bird for your lawn?
It's always been my favorite, even back when we had the normal style bird. It's always been the cartoon bird's been my favorite.
I've always been a big fan of the Oriole bird with the giant bat over his shoulder.
Absolutely.
I think I grew up with that one, so that's one I liked, really. Sure. What's been the reaction that people have either walked by? Like, are you stopping cars on the street? What's going on?
People have actually driven by and walked by as I was painting the hill itself, and, you know, just saying, great job, looks awesome, you know, keep up the great work, you know, can I take a picture, all those type of things. And, you know, they're more than welcome to stop by and take pictures and all that. Like I said, it's not for publicity, or I wasn't trying to, you know, make any money off of anything. It was just to, you know, paint the hill to support the team and show the team, whether through pictures or online or however else, you know, if anyone's seen it personally, you know, how much we care for the team and want to see them do good.
Yeah, and as I showed up here, I was checking everything out, and I saw that you actually added an Adam Jones picture of him blowing a big bubble. So is this going to be like a new thing? Every time they win a game, you're going to add something?
who knows? Maybe. But, you know, no, I just felt the urge to add to it, you know, and I just wanted to kind of finish off the Oriole bird and put a nice outline around him to make it pop. But kind of just had that feeling to add to it, and that's the first thing that came to my mind. You know, I just thought that would be a pretty cool touch.
If people are listening to this and they want to see some of your artwork, maybe order something from you, or even have you come and do something on their lawn, where can people do that? Where can they reach you?
I actually have a page on Facebook, facebook.com/2life, which is one word, a two. Life is connected to it, L-I-F-E. Concepts by Josh Brinkley, B-R-I-N-K-L-E-Y. And, you know, if you could go on there and like it and let all your friends know about it, and hopefully they'll go on and like it as well. I mean, you're more than welcome to send a message that way. I'd be more than welcome to help you paint your hill and help Baltimore paint their town, orange, purple, well, you know, Maryland, it doesn't matter. Anything, birthday parties, you know, if you want a Dora, you want a Hello Kitty, you know, Frozen, I'm more than willing to help or try to please everybody. So,
yeah. So you don't do just sports stuff; you do kid stuff as well, and everything like that, which is really cool. And you've donated stuff to me and the charity that I work for. So that's really cool. But I'm looking around. You know, we're in your man cave right now, and you've got Ravens and Orioles all over the place. But I love the fact that it's just all custom stuff that you've done. So that's really cool. And hopefully, I'm going to take some pictures, put it up on the Brando Cash page, and let people check this out. But Before I let you go here, what is your prediction for this weekend coming up? We got two big Oriole games, and we got the Ravens game on Sunday. Do you see both teams come away with a win?
I think the Orioles are really hot right now, and I think we're going to ride the momentum and going to have the home crowd. You know, hopefully we can just keep the ship rolling and firing on all cylinders. And I think the Ravens will bounce back after a tough loss. I know the offense usually picks it back up after a loss and delivers once we lose, we bounce back. So hopefully both teams will pull it out this weekend. You know, I know we have two games with the Orioles. You know, it's playoffs. The Royals are just as hot as we are. So, but we can only hope and pray and, you know, support the team and show them love. You know, show people how you feel through art, and that's the way I try to do it. So.
Very cool, man. Thanks so much. Remember, that's Two Life Concepts by Josh Brinkley. Check him out on Facebook, and we'll post some pictures up of the hill. Thanks a lot for talking to me.
Great. Thanks, Brandon. Appreciate it.
All right, so again, thank you to Josh Brinkley for talking to me about some of his art. You can check out some photos I took of the stuff that he's done to his lawn over at facebook.com/BrandoCash. And again, thanks for him. Two Life Concepts by Josh Brinkley. Check him out on Facebook. And hey, get your lawn painted if you want to. So let's talk about the Tampa Bay game. We got the Buccaneers in Tampa Bay. The Ravens are on the road once again. Josh, what are you thinking for this game? We saw what the Buccaneers can do up against the Steelers, a team that the Ravens were able to beat this season. Is this a season or two ago, this would have felt like a for sure win. Is that feeling still there?
I think the feeling's still there, Brandon. I mean, again, you know, you got to take the good with the bad and look what happened and what they can fix. I think what looking at the game as a whole, take it from the Colts game, put to Tampa Bay, it's easily fixable. Tampa Bay is one of those hot and cold teams. If you catch them at the right time, they're beatable. It is a road game, but it is Tampa Bay. They did come from behind and beat Pittsburgh on the road, but again, they look lousy and lost by, let's just say, a ton of points against the Falcons on Thursday Night Football a few weeks ago. So, again, you know, the NFL is having any given Sunday, Thursday, Monday, whatever day they play. They got some weapons, man. Doug Martin's back from his injury. Vincent Jackson's a big, tall receiver. Like I said, if the defense plays like they did, I have no worries with that stopping their attack. My concern is with the offense, the offensive woes, and it's really weird. The comparison, and I'm going to compare the Saints a bit to the Ravens. The Saints are weird because, or I wouldn't say weird, but they're unique as fact is they're a different team outside of their home, outside of Doom. Any team is. But Flacco's a totally different quarterback, and his offense is very different when they're not at home. When they're at home, it's Flacco throws three touchdowns, has a career rating and a franchise record rating. On the road, it's just what's going on. In the playoffs, he's awesome in the road, or halfway decent, I should say. But it's just if everything goes to game plan, I don't see any reason why not.
I'm interested to see what the Ravens are going to do here. Again, I am worried about Gary Kubiak and his offense. But like I said, you know, there are a lot of holes on the defense that we're all worried about.
Oh, yeah.
You know, the defense has kind of been the good thing the last couple weeks. But let's talk about the injuries, though. This is going to be a big one. The Ravens are going to be losing Chris Canty for a number of weeks. And now in a spot where there's been problems the entire season at corner, Asa Jackson is now going to be out with a sprained toe, and he's out, I think, at least until week 8. So for somebody like me who's been worried about the offense and not really the defense, this is a huge hit. This is definitely something to be worried about, because besides those two guys, you also have Terrell Suggs, who isn't at 100%.
No, man. If when it rains, it pours is the old adage. And, you know, Canty's, you know, he's got that illness and sickness is going around everywhere. Asa Jackson out indefinitely right now. It's huge. He was one of my favorite players. He's been performing at a high level on this defense and special teams accordingly. He's been out there. And it's very unfortunate to see that. And everybody stepping up. You're right, Suggs isn't 100%. We need all these guys on board. I think it's unfair to say that, you know, yeah, we need these guys 100% week in, week out. They put their bodies on the line, and we don't really, I think, realize that or take it for granted, because that's what they're doing. They're putting their bodies on the line for an entertainment of us, for the sake of entertainment. And, yeah, we want them to give 100% effort, which I don't think they aren't without a doubt. They are. But when it comes down to it, these injuries, they're very key losses for us. And I actually heard that, speaking of the secondary, they worked out champion Bailey this week, a former Pro Bowl and supposedly a future Hall of Famer secondary. And we know Champ Bailey served on some number of teams well. He's had a great career. So we even worked out the old veterans. So we'll see what happens, comes of that. I know we signed the tight end. We signed a tight end from the Packers today. So we're adding a little bit more pieces to the mix. They might not be flashy names, but they get the job done. Because as we know, with the Pitt injury, we're thin at tight end because we only have Owen Daniels. I wasn't confident for Supernaw in the preseason. I wasn't really confident in his abilities to step up. So, again, with the injuries, they're very key losses. I really hope Suggs just gets his rest and gets better. And the bye week almost can't come soon enough for us. And hopefully we can stack up some wins before we get to the bye week in about a month. We really need that. And I know we had the mini bye week when we played Pittsburgh, and we took that on the road and beat the Browns. It's just when I saw all these key losses and with Canty being ill, and it's just not good, man, because when we have all of our starters performing well and all cylinders firing, man, it's full throttle for this defense. And I mean, if the defense is playing this well, with Canty out and with Suggs not being 100%, what if? But like I said, I'm not really satisfied as of right now with the secondaries. So let's see how they move some players around. I mean, Webb, he was in on a few tackles and deflect passes. So I was very excited to see Webb back healthy finally. He hasn't had an all-star game yet, but he's come into his own so far with that injuries. And I was really hoping that he would do that. And he performed well for us, man. I really watched him out in the field when I was there in Indy. Just to make sure that I was concerned about Webb, and Webb was covering. He was covering well. A lot of Reggie Wayne passes inside the slant. That was killing us, man. But they were right there. They never let big plays. It was just the Colts methodically went right down the field. It was pass after pass, run after run, and they went down there and scored. But I was impressed with that. So with Tampa Bay coming up, I'm really excited to see how the defense can press and not really that whole band, but not break mentality like they've been doing all year, man. They've been doing a good job so far and a really solid job. I'd like to see them keep it up. The offense really needs to step up because they got a big fat F. They did not perform up to par and very, very disappointed, especially with, you know, Steve Smith fumbling. Didn't expect them of that. Torrey Smith is not – they just don't look like they're running routes. Very crisp routes, and I just want to see some – fresh faces get in there, man, and now tackle a job accordingly.
What's the key for this offense up against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers? Should they be running the ball more against a team like this, or should they be be throwing more to the wide receivers?
Oh yeah, run first. This we got to get back to Baltimore Ravens football. Run first offense. We don't have the weapons to be a pass first offense. It's just plain and simple. I can't really chalk it up as better as that. Just Force has been awesome. Just run the football. You run the football, sets up the pass, and I think they need to go more to no huddle. You look what the defense is doing, and then, okay, let's counter that. But it was just – this is my assumption or sums it up what I saw on Sunday. The play was called, and Flacco ran it. They didn't make any adjustments, and what the defense was doing, they were just eating us alive. It was – you know, they weren't – the defense was like, okay, the offense is going to run this all day. They were probably laughing at us. It wasn't – you know, if they were blitzing, we didn't call a counter play. We didn't call, let's do a screen to counter that. You know, Flacco didn't use his normal progressions. It just was weird to see that happen. And did not expect that from this offense, from the offensive coordinator. I don't know where it comes from. But that's what they need to do. They need to look at what the defense is doing and game plan towards that. The defense comes out, man, they need to call the plays to counter that. Or if they're sitting back in the zone, you know, had the receivers do 5-10 yard routes and sit in the zone and have the running backs, you know, run wild. You know, you got to give and take a little bit there. But I don't think they just really reviewed that and made the proper adjustments. And even in the second half, it was the same thing. It was they weren't running the no huddles, the shotguns, as I'm used to seeing out of this offense. And Flacco's a rhythm quarterback. You get him in the rhythm, he's going to perform well. But you can see, as with him and when we got pressure on Luck, any quarterback's going to look mediocre when you're harassing all day and this offense can't run correctly if the offense isn't – if the timing's thrown off, if they're blitzing him every down and the line's not holding up. So it's very, very frustrating overall across the board. But that's what they need to do. The key for the offense on Sunday against Tampa Bay, get back to the basics, run the football, counter their blitzing with shotguns or no huddles, and really take it to them and show them that we mean business, and we're going to look into come away with a 4-2 record and not flatline at 3-3.
Yeah, that's the big thing, I think, at least to make Joe Flacco's game better, is the fact that there hasn't been any shotgun and there hasn't been no huddle, and I feel as if he's more comfortable doing it that way. So I kind of feel as if last year and this year they're kind of forcing Joe to play a certain way, and maybe that's a little bit of it, that even the whole line doesn't feel as confident because he's not confident, you know, he's not comfortable in the way he's playing. So if they can incorporate that against a team like Tampa Bay, you know, they could be up against Tampa Bay, it could be, you know, a 3-point game or a touch, or, you know, 7 points. But if they get up there and they have a little of extra time, let Joe go and let Joe have some fun with it.
Joe be Joe, man. Right. Let Joe be Joe. Let this offense do it. And it's like night and day, because I think that's what the defense does. It's the defense adjusts to that, and they're flying around the ball and they're making the plays, and they got the well-timed blitzes. I know the offense and defense are called a little bit differently in game plan for, but it's like vanilla and chocolate, man. You got the chocolate out there running on the defense. You got vanilla offense just ho-hum, doing its job, and it's not complimenting each other. Both sides need to be on point, and it just was a bad game around. Special teams was atrocious. I mean, Jacoby Jones needs a fair catcher. Get out of the way. Just it overall, other than the defense saving the day and keeping the game close, it was a bad, bad day overall that we need to forget about and correct those things going to Tampa Bay and really get down to basics, man, because two straight road games, and they come home against the Falcons, and they're right going right back on the road. It's just – the Falcons, man. I mean, at home, I really see that being an okay game, but not looked ahead. But we have two offenses here that are in the same division that could give us fits. I mean, like I said, Doug Martin, Vincent Jackson. I know Mike Evans has been out several weeks. Their rookie draft pick. He's a tall receiver. They just got these – and Vincent Jackson's just coming off of a huge game. You know, he had over 120 yards receiving, I believe. So it's just these guys, they ain't no slouch. I mean, Doug Martin, he might be coming off an injury, but he's still dangerous. Bobby Rainey, again, our former Raven, he's doing a damage down there in Tampa Bay. So, again, we know him, but we don't because, again, former Raven sometimes used to give us the fits, and it's been very ironic. So I'd really think overall they needed to game plan accordingly and be sharp because Tampa Bay – this could be a trap game, and we could easily be 3-3, or we can easily be 4-2. I knew that's, you know, a 50-50 chance there. But again, if I don't see quick improvement with the offense and with anything that was going wrong on Sunday in Indianapolis, it could be an easy 3-3 record coming out of two straight road losses, and it's gonna look bad. It's gonna look bad for the overall season and for the morale. They need this road win, and I would say this is a must win already. But this is a desperate game. They really need to win. But I'm not going must win as of yet. Being week six, I'm going to hold off on a must win right now.
So what is your call for this week? What is the score going to be, and who's going to walk away the winner?
I knew we were going to get to that point in the show, and it's very tough because the way the Ravens are playing and the way Tampa Bay's playing, it's almost like this could end up in a tie. I mean, really, it could. It's just one of those games. I'm tripping over my words, man, because this is a tough one. I'm actually going to pick the Ravens in this one. It's going to be an ugly game, I think, on both sides of the football. I'm going to pick the Ravens 17-14 on a close one.
That's good. I think. I'm definitely going
to. Yeah. So you're doing the same thing, Brent. You trip. You just don't know.
You know,
this team's even got me doing that.
Yeah, with the way that the Buccaneers performed up against the Steelers, it does make on me feel as if, you know, the Buccaneers are going to have a lot of the same qualities the Ravens have. You also got to think about the weather, you know, since it is in Tampa Bay. I got to assume it's going to be a little bit warmer, so it's going to be a little bit more summer-like than it is in the last few games up here in Baltimore. So, yeah, I think it's going to be the Ravens, and I'm hoping it's not by 3 points. I'm hoping it's by a touchdown, but really, it's the offense, besides all of the holes in the defense and that being such a problem, the offense is the big thing that worries me just because I don't know who's going to show up. If Jacoby Jones and Torrey Smith both decide this is the Sunday where they're going to change their season around and this is the Sunday where they're going to do everything they can, then this offense is going to do great. But if we show up, Jacoby Jones is there and he does a stupid play like he did in Indianapolis, then the game could go to Tampa Bay. So really this could go either, man, I'm going to say the Ravens just cuz it's the Ravens and that's who I want to win. But it really all depends on who shows up on Sunday. So
it does, man. I mean, again, you're right. It's check on Hyde. It's if they fix it and correct it, I have full confidence with this team and what I've been seeing. And it's just really, it shows you how crazy the NFL is and how crazy a week to week story is. Because as I stated before, you know, Joe Flacco throws a career best and a franchise record pass rating, and then just comes out and jumping back to Indianapolis. I have a Colts fan who's a friend of mine, and he said it best like this, because he was just like – he was kind of shocked that it was only a 7-point game, and so was I. But he said, we played as equally as few, if not worse. It was kind of like the Colts got the better of the worst, if that could be said. It's both teams played horrible. How many turnovers were in the game? I couldn't even count, because it just seems like every possession they were trading turnovers. And both teams just looked atrocious, and And again, if they get out of their own way in Tampa Bay and keep the turnovers to a minimum, I was impressed with the defense forcing them, but the offense just kept giving the ball right back. We would, recover a fumble, and then we just throw a pick, or it's just it was a frustrating week, to say the least. And like I said, you're right. It's the Ravens got you tripping over words because you really don't know. You're trying to predict the game correctly, and you're like, well, my expert opinion comes down to this, my friend. The Ravens correct the problems this week. It's going to be a good day in Tampa Bay. Hopefully, it's going to be a sunny day in Tampa Bay, Florida. Should be a great trip, and I already know a lot of contingent Ravens fans going to be attending the game, headed down to sunny Florida. I won't be making two consecutive road trips. Enough is enough for me. I'm all tuckered out, but it was fun. But with that being said, again, my expert opinion stands. Ravens correct it. We're going to have a good football Sunday come 1 o'clock on Sunday against Tampa Bay. But again, if the mistakes are still there, again, they're just going to sit there and look, what if, what if, what if? And I really hate saying that, being a Ravens fan. Again, I like to take every loss in stride. You got to take the losses with the wins, the good with the bad, and being 100% all the time. And I really think it comes down to if everything's correctable in review. And again, going back to before, Brandon, it's okay, dude. You don't have to be on the ledge. I'm going to talk you off, everybody off. It is okay. And again, like I said, we got our other birds doing well. The Ravens, they're going to be okay. We're 3-2. The division is tight. The Bengals lost on Sunday. The Patriots, thank goodness. Everything is going to be right with the world. In this division, it's going to be a big horse race going down to the end. So let's get to it in Tampa Bay. We got to take care of business starting on Sunday.
Yeah, absolutely. So I think that's pretty much it for the show this week. So make sure you're social with the show. We are on Facebook, facebook.com/thecallpodcast. We are also on Twitter. You can follow me at BrandoCash. Josh, where can people follow you at?
They can follow me always on Twitter at ItalianGQ52. And with that being said, there's not a chance. And with that, hey, two picks this year. He's leading the team with two picks. This is awesome.
Who would have ever thought? Hello, Dinata.
Who would have thunk it, right?
All right, so make sure you go to BrandoCash.com, get information about the call and all the other podcasts from Brando Cash Entertainment. We do this show completely for free. We love the Ravens. We love talking about the Ravens, and hopefully you guys love listening about the Ravens. But what we need you to do is help us expand even further our reach out there in the iTunes podcasting world, and be social with the show and let people know you are a Baltimore Ravens fan, you listen to the call, and they should too. So let people know on Facebook and Twitter and Tumblr and Pinterest and Instagram and Vine and Reddit, everywhere. Let them know how proud you are to be a Baltimore Ravens fan and how much you enjoy listening to the call. We do the show for free. You guys download it for free on iTunes, Stitcher, and the Baltimore Sports Report Network. So that's pretty much it for the show this week. Josh, I wish the Ravens could have given you a win on your birthday. The Orioles, they seem to be, you know, extending your birthday. Hopefully they get even more wins and all in your birthday name this week coming up. But take us out the way you always do.
Brandon, thank you very much. And thanks to all who did wish me a happy birthday this weekend. It was fun. Again, with the loss aside, it still was fun. And we always have fun watching Ravens football, even wins and losses. We always come down to it on Sunday. It's always been fun. With that being said, Tampa Bay is the site. We've been there before, Super Bowl 35. We've been down there several times before. Speaking of Elodie Nada, that's when he had his first career game as a Raven, and he almost rumbled to a touchdown a few yards short. We can do it. I know we can. Ravens, they got to get out of their way, fellas. They just got to get out of their way. Ladies and gentlemen, it comes down to this. Get back to the basics. Ravens football, we'll be all right. Again, just get off the ledges. But again, we're going to fly high. I believe it. I flew high above everybody on Sunday. I flew high literally, but the Ravens did. So it felt good to soar like a Raven. But with that being said, we got to get back and fly high like Ravens on Sunday, or we're in trouble. We'll be down to 500, where we do not want to be. So with that being said, again, let's take the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and show them how we want to play Ravens football. And we're going to fly high on Sunday.
This has been a production of Brando Cash Entertainment. Music by Brad Lepore and Daniel Kelly from the DBK Studio. For more information, go to BrandoCash.com.